You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
We are here today, Char. Today.
Today.
To talk about Tsunkatse, Season 6, Episode 15. We are doing our commentary on this episode. I love doing commentaries. I think it's so much fun. Even outside of the realm of Star Trek, DVD commentaries, Blu-ray commentaries, director's commentaries give me so much joy. I will rip a director's commentary and put it in MP3 format on my phone so I can just listen to it as I go.
That is awesome. And you know how much of a junkie that I am for DVD extras, yes?
Yes.
We talked about this quite a while ago on the podcast when we wanted to, I don't know, come up with ideas for what we wanted for the Voyager Blu-rays. And this had to have been more than 100 episodes ago. And one of the things that I love about getting an actual physical DVD or Blu-ray copy of a movie or a TV box set is the commentaries. I listen to them endlessly as well, especially if they're really good. I'll listen to them more than once. So I love commentaries. I love doing commentaries. And I'm excited too. That's what we're doing today. This is a perfect way to spend today.
And how Netflix describes the episode is, when Seven of Nine and Tuvok are kidnapped while on an away mission, Seven is forced to fight in a gladiatorial competition to the death. Gladiatorial? I've never heard that word in that form before.
Somebody has a vocabulary, I guess.
I guess, yeah. It's gladiatorial. It's interesting because some of these descriptions, I know we're going outside the realm of Star Trek here, but in Mad Men, I think the mid-season finale of season 7, the description was Dawn has issues.
That's it.
That's all it was, and I think that's genius. It's amazing. That's if you could ever summarize the show of Mad Men, it's Dawn has issues.
Right. Summarize the whole show in 3 words. Yes, that is it. That's funny. You know, working at Netflix has to be fun for things like that.
I know. You want to crack open that shell and figure out what's inside because there's so many cool things going on there. But
no kidding.
There's a lot of cool things going on here as well, and that is an episode commentary. So how about we get into it? So
let's,
you guys know the drill, and if for some reason you don't know the drill and you're new, what we do is we record the episode while watching the Star Trek episode, and we put it on subtitles. And we sync it up, and what we do is we say 3, 2, 1, play. And when we say play, you hit play, whether it's on your DVD, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, or wherever it is, and you guys have fun.
Yeah, and I know that there's people out there who don't even follow along with the episode. They just listen to us because, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I'm listening to podcasts, it's in the car. Well,
yeah.
I'm not going to be watching an episode along with driving. Those things don't mix, so please don't do that. Don't get any ideas. And so the idea is we're going to make this entertaining, regardless of whether you're watching along or not.
So here we go. Everybody ready? 3, 2, 1, play.
All right. Seriously, I feel like this, if it weren't an arena, it would be a rave.
Now, okay, I should have noticed this beforehand, but you can clearly see that there are Starfleet personnel in the audience.
Well, the uniforms kind of stick out because they're about the only thing of any substantial bright color.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is that I remember watching this as a kid and not realizing that Starfleet personnel was there until we saw Chakotay and B'Elanna later on.
Oh, really? Okay, I've always known that.
Well, you're just more special than I am, apparently.
Well, I'm special. We don't need to evaluate the ways for a commentary.
Oh man, Netflix really needs to get their interlacing issues in check.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, you do not see that? Like, it's like, look at certain motion, you'll see it's jagged lines.
Oh, yeah, actually, sometimes I do see this. I normally see it on my TV, though, and of course, since we're recording, I'm watching on the computer. Maybe I've got the window scaled down enough to where I don't see it that much.
Yeah, that's annoying. We did our Fraser rewatch on Netflix, and almost every single episode was hardcore interlacing issues.
Ooh.
Where the just jagged lines like crazy. And for anybody at home wondering what the hell I'm talking about, interlacing issues is, you know, old TV, like standard definition TV signals, were created by several lines and like pixels, except it had one, like frame A would be the top lines and frame B would be the bottom lines, and they'd play it really, really fast. And so it looked like one cohesive image, and that's how your TV processed it. Well, ever since the digital revolution, we don't really need those lines anymore. And so it has to be properly converted from broadcast to digital, and those lines get removed or at least blended. And sometimes Netflix drops the ball hard.
Yeah, kind of unfortunate.
I love that those little hand things that they have actually light up.
Yes, it's kind of cool. I also love when there's contact, you see the little almost lightning-like flashes where it's the hit is made.
Yeah, I think that was a really cool added benefit or added little nuance to it, where they could have just made it, you know, people beating each other up, but this is Star Trek. You got to add some technology into it.
That's right. It's the future.
Yeah, it's just, it's cool that there's certain points on the body where you cause more damage. Just like in boxing and in MMA fighting, you know, that those points exist, but these are much more amplified because of technology, which I think is just really cool.
Right. I find it interesting where this teaser left off, because we saw the fight, and then we cut to Chakotay and B'Elanna, and they're into it, and we hear, Zoom cut, Zoom cut, and then cut. Okay.
I love that teaser.
Oh,
I
no.
think it's great.
They were at the fight. Is this good or bad? That just blew my mind.
That's what I'm talking about. It's like, that's why it was even more surprising to me when I didn't notice the Starfleet officers and we saw B'Elanna and Chakotay. I'm just like, what are they doing there? What are they doing watching people fight? They're Starfleet officers. They shouldn't be enjoying violence.
Well, it actually does make sense that Chakotay might be interested in a fight since he does like boxing so much for one whole episode.
Yeah, you know, it's drawing back on that.
And, you know, B'Elanna likes her violence. She likes to throw things and break them.
I do like later on in the episode, they talk about how, like Tuvok wants to have nothing to do with Tsunkaze, and Chakotay brings up a good point. He's like, you enjoy the martial arts, you know, like, you know, what's, you know, how is this any different? I like that they address that issue later on in the show.
Yeah, that is very cool. We're going to have to point that out when we reach that moment. And now that we're done with the intro, we can get on with the episode. Bring on the violence.
Yeah, it's so funny because ever since commercial breaks started becoming longer and longer, TV show intros have become shorter and shorter on broadcast.
Totally.
And so when you're doing a commentary, you're just like, okay, nothing's going on. Like, this is the day and age when the opening was 2.5 minutes. Okay.
Right. Yeah. No way would an intro like Voyager happen in this day and age. I mean, it's so rare.
The only time we see it is when it's a digital release, like with House of Cards or Daredevil or stuff like that.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, Netflix shows tend to have a longer intro, but sometimes when you're binging through them, it'll skip right over the start, like mm-hmm. the opening sequence, and just let you keep on going. So here's our JC moment of the episode, which, you know me, I'm never opposed.
Nope, and then she's gone.
Yep, that's it. That's all we get. Aww. No touchy-feely, nothing.
I like the crimp in B'Elanna's
yes,
hair this season.
This is your favorite B'Elanna hairstyle, correct?
I think so. I think the crimp is my favorite. My second favorite is that little braid that she had, like, in the front.
That was season 3, if I'm recalling correctly.
I would have to go to you for that judgment.
Yeah, believe me, I know my hair, and it was season 3, starting, I think, in real life.
I trust you.
Now, I've always loved this subplot with Neelix and the sunburn and his toxic lemonade potion, or at least that's what it looks like to me.
It does look like toxic lemonade.
Yeah, radioactive lemonade that really, like, it's glowing just a little too much. That's to be fit for consumption.
I think, you know, they have him have a sunburn on the side of his face. I think it would have been interesting if they made it a different color, like they didn't make it red, where, like, maybe, like, he's, like, a little purple or something like that, and Blonde and Chakotay are like, what the hell happened to you?
Right, yeah. Wow, you must have had some night. Somebody else was in a fight, too, apparently. Oh, no, no, this is what it's like for a Talaxian to be sunburned. That would be interesting, because we've talked before about how, you know, aliens have different colors of blood, basically,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. that's a result of their chemical composition. Well, Talaxian blood, what color is it? Do we even know?
Yeah, we've seen it. It's red.
It is? Okay, well, then that's why he's red sunburned, I think.
Yeah. Okay, the food on that table, there was three plates of food. Three small plates of food. Look at that. Look,
yes.
Look. There's like 175 people on board.
Yeah, and it looks like uncooked potatoes, radishes, and then like the little fried onions you put on top of green bean casserole. Mm-hmm. That's what you get to eat.
Everybody, that's why everybody is so skinny in their jumpsuits. It's because they're all malnourished.
You know, rationing is hard. It's a rough life.
I always felt like we didn't get enough Tom and Seven scenes.
It's a very rare thing.
Yeah, like those are two characters you don't really see interact too much.
Not really. I mean, it's usually Seven and B'Elanna or Seven and Harry. Not Flyboy. Yeah.
Not Flyboy. No, he's too busy flying the ship and going on dates with B'Elanna.
That's right. Watching TV.
At night.
Specifically at night.
Yes, yeah, it's Star Trek After Dark.
Yeah.
Toby the Targ. That is probably the most uninventive name for a Targ that I've ever heard.
It's kind of cutesy, though. Like, I see a nice cartoon, Toby the Targ. It'd be a great kids cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kids programming. That's something Naomi's watching right now when she's not, you know, fixated on Flotter.
That could be the most least efficient luggage I've ever seen. It's hard plastic, and it doesn't roll, or it doesn't. There's no strap or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't have rollers in the 24th century. Okay, I suppose you could apologize, or you could be the apologist and say, "Oh, but there's something where, you know, they mess with the gravity, so it's almost lightweight, and it feels like nothing when you actually carry it. Something That'd you do cool. with the inertial dampeners, but that's really stretching it. I'm rationalizing a really stupid thing."
So, do you watch Bosch on Amazon Prime?
Bosch. No, I do not. What is this?
It is a TV show I know very little about, but Jeri Ryan just joined the show.
Oh, okay.
And I think they just dropped their season 2. And she's in it, so I was wondering if you have watched it.
Oh, no, I'm afraid not. I think I've seen her tweet some photos on set now that you mention it or things like mm-hmm. that. But I've not watched the show. I'm curious to know now what it's about. I'll have to look into that after we're done here.
Yeah, I feel like she'd probably be the only reason why I'd watch it.
Yeah. But if it's good, I'll keep watching it.
Yeah.
That's how I got into Orange is the New Black. I watched that for Kate Mulgrew and then ended up getting sucked in. I really enjoyed it.
Now, Tuvok and Seven in a shuttlecraft together could be the most awkward shuttle ride you'd ever have in your life as a third wheel.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. As the third wheel. Yeah. That would be the most boring, non-conversational ride you've ever had in your life. I'm so glad it's just the two of them. Because the two of them is great.
Yeah. When we were doing our TTJ AMA, somebody asked, who would you hate to be in a shuttlecraft together?
Yes.
You answered Seven of Nine. I answered Tuvok. And it's funny that they're both together.
Yeah.
In
well,
a shuttle
let's be clear. First, you said Seven of Nine. And then I said, oh, that's my answer too. And then for the same reason, the fact that it would be incredibly boring because they really wouldn't make small talk. Yeah. We chose the same person. Well, not the same
I
person,
changed
different
my
people
answer.
For some reason. That's right.
I changed my answer
did.
To Tuvok.
Yes. Yes. Same reason, different people.
I have a friend who I will not name names.
Okay.
But he likes to text me whenever Jerry Ryan posts a very nice Sunday selfie, or whenever there's a picture of her on Instagram or on Twitter, he's like, dude.
Because you don't actually follow her yourself on Twitter and don't see these things.
Oh, right? Of course I do. I follow her on Instagram and Twitter.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, yeah, you know.
He makes sure that I've seen it.
That's funny. I have friends who will do that, you know. Hey, did you know this about Star Trek? Yeah, I've known that for 25 years, but thanks.
Yeah. You know, okay. I think once every 2 or 3 weeks, and ever since I joined the online community, which would have been in like 2009. So just do the math. It's 2016 right now. So every 2 to 3 weeks, I see some sort of post, whether it's a blog post, Twitter post, or whatever post, about somebody saying, hey, did you know that Martin Luther King convinced Nichelle Nichols to stay on Star Trek? I'm like, yes, I did know that. Thank you. You told me last week.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. That's that. Sometimes I'm tempted just to say, well, gee, no, I've never heard that story before. That is mind blowing.
What?
Oh, okay. So we haven't addressed this yet, but Jeffrey Combs is in this episode.
Hey. He is everywhere. He is here.
Everywhere.
That's right.
This is the only time he's on Voyager.
Is it really?
I think so.
What?
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me. Wow, that does not seem right, but I'm not disbelieving you. I can't prove you wrong.
You're gonna make me prove you wrong.
Hmm. Poor Tuvok. That is one heck of a makeup job. He looks in bad shape.
Yeah, they do. Star Trek does burns really, really well.
They really do. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only. Yeah, it's his only Voyager episode.
Okay, how about that? That is a factoid. I did not know.
And what's funny is that that's J.G. Hertzler in the back, and they're both from Deep Space Nine. Like, they both had recurring characters on Deep Space Nine, but they never actually shared a scene in Deep Space Nine.
Yeah. So what gives? They both get the week off from Deep Space Nine and they say, hey, you want to come over to Voyager? We can do something for you this week.
I bet you that's probably how it worked.
Maybe.
Although this was season 6. So Deep Space Nine would have been over by now.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so they just had to keep him giving him work. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
That is a small that is a small coffee cup. Like, Janeway really would see that coffee cup and go, no, give me its mama.
Yeah, triple that size, please. And then she just guzzles the whole thing anyway, all 20 or so ounces of it. Because I'm guessing that's like a 6-ounce cup.
That's like her espresso size.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nothing. Like, I don't know. Put an espresso shot in there.
The tattooed terror. I love that. I absolutely love that. I should have made that my username.
Tattooed terror. I want to see the avatar.
I'm completely blank, so.
I don't have any tattoos. So it's not really fitting. Whereas the insane Robin.
Yeah, except the picture of the Robin on my backside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the only one.
I did not know that.
So this was really crappy of Chakotay. I know that this was supposed to be for comic relief, but this is really crappy. Like, he organized the shifts so that B'Elanna can't go, and she was the one who invited him to go.
Yeah, kind of a jerk move. I almost said a stronger word, but we got to keep this friendly and clean.
Yeah, this was when Janeway's away, Chakotay just plays. You know?
Oh. Chakotay, he just pulled the I'm an anthropologist card. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you the one time this season you're gonna believe that and actually do something about it. So are they making a commentary about homeopathy here?
I hope so, yeah. I mean, they reference it directly.
Yeah. Your toxic lemonade, Neelix, is no match for conventional medicine.
I love this makes so much sense. I love that the doctor is just pissed that people are enjoying this activity.
he would be.
Yeah, because he would be, because like during the boxing episode, he kind of had the same thing. He said, he's like, this is ridiculous, you know, like this is barbaric. This is like, you're just trying to not, like, whoever can cause the most physical damage wins. And, you know, like, of course, as a medical professional, this would just disgust him.
Yeah, because guess who gets to fix it all at the very end?
Yeah.
Now, the only benefit for a physician to encourage violence is job security. But this is the 24th century, and he doesn't really have to worry about that.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about insurance or, you know, drug companies lobbying his hospital or anything like that.
Back in the arena. This does look like fun. I mean, I'm not even a fan of fighting. You know, I'm not watching IFC fights or, you know, mixed martial arts, WWF or anything, but this does look like a fun time. And if I'm on shore leave, I'm going to be getting some kick out of this.
You know, I probably would too. Like, yeah, I've never been to a WWF match or whatever, WWE. I've never been to MMA and I don't enjoy watching it on TV, but for some reason, like, if it was something like this, if it was this crazy, I probably would see it if I was on shore leave or something like that.
I know people who are really into it, and they have a really good time at these fights. I mean, it's just, it's like this. It's people with their bare hands and fists, and, you know, you fight until somebody is down for the count. And, okay. It's not really my thing, but I guess I can see kind of the appeal. And I would rather see, you know, it's not necessarily human against human in this sense, but, you know, man versus man, if you will, rather than man versus beast. Because the beast, in my opinion, is not a willing participant.
Now we have the introduction of The Rock. Now we have there is a pro wrestler who likes our show.
Yes, Stardust.
Stardust, he listens to our show. So you, Stardust, my good man, if you're listening, if you're listening right now, I would love to know what you think of this episode, what you think of Tsunkatse, what you think of The Rock coming into a Star Trek episode, and would you ever go into a Star Trek episode if asked for the future?
Yeah, because there is that chance now with the new series.
Write us an email or let us know on Twitter. Let us know.
Yeah, totally. That would be awesome.
Oh, he looks like a baby here.
The Rock?
Yeah, just a baby face. So young.
Yeah, he really does. This was very early in his acting career. He was already known as a wrestler at this point, obviously, because UPN cross-promoted the living heck out of this episode with WWE fights.
Well, they did a good job because this was the highest rated episode of the season.
Was it? Okay, well, yeah. It worked then. It worked. Everybody wanted to go see The Rock on Voyager.
Yeah, it's just, I remember mentioning this in the last episode, but even though this Star Trek episode isn't my favorite or even my favorite of the season, this kind of has this has a lot of significance in my history with Star Trek because this was the era when I got really, really into everything Star Trek, not just the show, because beforehand with Deep Space Nine and Next Generation, you know, I was hardcore about the show and watched every single episode countless times. But once we got to season 6 of Voyager, I started learning more about the behind the scenes, the writing, the producers, you know, like the marketing and everything like that. I just started reading more and more novels and just getting into it more and more. And so, yeah, whenever I see this episode, it just kind of throws me back to middle school.
8th grade all over again, man. That, I'm sorry, that is not something I really want to go back to.
Yeah, no, never. Now, we saw B'Elanna in the captain's chair. I think we've only seen that like one other time.
When was the other time? Do you know off the top of your head?
When
she's promptly out of the seat.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I think it was the 37s when
was
everybody
really?
Was on the... Yeah, I think so. When everybody was on the surface.
Okay. I'm not recalling that whatsoever. But again, I don't not believe you.
I pay very close attention to B'Elanna, so...
That's why I believe you.
Take my word on this one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have the reveal that it's all digital pay-per-view. It's holographic pay-per-view.
Yes. I think we mentioned this last week. My favorite part of this episode, that there is space pay-per-view. Now, have you ever done any pay-per-view specials? Have you actually paid to see one of their live events?
No, but there was one time when we accidentally got free pay-per-view, and I think it was Double Jeopardy and The Matrix.
Aha.
So we, of course, taped them.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. I did, in my day, get a couple of pay-per-view movies and then tape them. I don't think 20-something years after the fact I'm going to go to jail for that. But yeah, I would pay like $4.99 to see one broadcast of the pay-per-view movie, and you had to order it over the phone. I mean, this is obviously
you had to do it over the phone. That's hysterical.
Yeah, you had to call the number and then pick the movie and the time, and then you would get access to it on your TV on the pay-per-view channel.
So you know how The Rock just body slammed 7?
Yes.
Apparently, that's one of his most famous moves when he was a wrestler. It's called the Rock Bottom.
Oh, okay. I don't really watch wrestling, so I don't know anything about that. I'm sure all the people who have seen it before have watched The Rock do his thing. Like, wow, really? You don't know that? But I don't. Never really been that much into wrestling at all.
My grandma was, and it was hysterical.
Your grandma? Okay, what is she like about it?
I don't know. This was a long, long, long time ago. And she was the only one in the family who liked pro wrestling. And I remember asking her as a child, and I think her answer was, I love the stories.
Yeah. That is such a great, cute grandma answer.
It was so weird because we'd just walk in and she'd be like watching these two oiled up guys just beating the crap out of each other, fake, you know, beating each other to the pulp. And you just see this, you know, the 75-year-old woman just like, oh, hello, you want a peanut butter and jelly? Let's watch some old men just beat each other senseless.
That's hilarious.
I don't know why that was the impression of my grandma. She didn't sound like that, but that's what came to my head.
There was a friend of mine who described things like WWF and WWE wrestling as soap operas for men. So the whole story element, I guess, there is more to it than meets the eye. Like, they have these sagas going on, and then they beat each other senseless, and then that continues the story. Like, now the other guy has to avenge and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you hit on my girlfriend, and so I'm going to take you to the ring kind of stuff.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's so weird to see J.G. Hertzler in different makeup.
A little bit, yes. Yeah, his eyes are not the same.
No. But that voice is so distinct.
Yes. Even though we can't hear it right now, I still hear him actually saying the words on the captions.
Do you think I should grow a mustache like that?
I was just thinking, that is one interesting mustache. You know, try. See how long it takes you to grow it that long to connect it to the rest of the hair on your head.
Yeah, maybe I could use some sort of gel or, you know, like fasten it to my sideburns in some fashion.
There you go. Then you ought to braid it.
Well, it looks like his is a little braided, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then braid it and then just, attach it to your head. Sure. Maybe you could start a trend.
So you just said that 3 billion people paid to see that fight. And did that used to be the numbers for like the Oscars? Like, or was it 1 billion? I think it was 1 billion for the Oscars.
Really? 1 billion for the Oscars?
I think so. I think that's how many people used to watch the Oscars. I think that number is way down today.
Yeah. When was this?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe in this star system, 3 billion is a lot. I mean, either way, that sounds like serious revenue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I'm running space pay-per-view, I'm happy. More bruise action on Seven's face. Again, very nicely done. Got little hints of purple and green.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And also, one thing I really like about the makeup that they do for her is that she still has Borg implants, not just on her face. You know, like she has one on her arm, and we can assume that she has them in other places. And I like that we don't see it all the time, but when, you know, like she doesn't have her shirt on or she's wearing sleeveless, like that's when we get to see it. I think that's cool.
Yeah. Now, I do want to make a comment about her, I don't know, what would you say, fighting suit?
Yeah.
It looks really good on her. It's still of course, just skin tight, but it doesn't seem nearly as constricting as her cat suit.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Why couldn't she just have something like this on the ship if she can't be in a freaking uniform?
They needed to vary it up.
They really did. And not just different colors of cat suits either. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. that's the best that we got. Like, we got like a maroon one. We got a silver one. We got a blue one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't it. Now, it's a great story to have a Hirogen in Tsunkatsi just because they are known to be such fighters. I thought that was a perfect good choice. Nice little throwback, too, to jog our memories. Hey, there is continuity on Voyager.
Yeah, I thought it was, we needed a familiar face, and it was nice to see that.
Totally. Plus, it's not just some stupid alien of the week again, as always, either. We know the Hirogen are a fighting species.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never get tired of looking at the Hirogen makeup. It just looks so complex. Just every one of those little bees on the face and the head. It's cool.
So I've been secretly looking at the numbers for the Oscars, and I have no idea where I got the billion number from.
Yeah, I don't. I can't say anything to back you up on that. I have no idea.
I swear that I heard that number somewhere, and I didn't believe it. And then somebody like, oh yeah, apparently like a billion people all over the world are going to watch the Oscars at some time. So I don't know if it was like accumulative watches or what. Anyway, I'm embarrassed, folks. I just want to let you know I'm embarrassed.
That's okay. You know what? You might not be wrong. It's just maybe, I don't know, something. There's something to this. You know, it wouldn't be in your mind if it hadn't happened somehow. So maybe this is a good thing for our listeners to either back you up or tear you down.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's what we can do. Whenever I know I'm wrong or I think I'm wrong, listeners, let me know. Send me an email. And or find me on Twitter and let me know where the hell I could have gotten that 1 billion number from.
Yeah, yeah. You are the Insane Robin, and you can message me on Twitter at Oh the Profanity. Or you can email.
Or you could email by going to trek.fm/TTJ. Correction, sir.
Yes.
It's trek.fm/contact, and from there, select TTJ from the drop-down menu. Then you can email us.
That emails us. Yeah,
I love the little design in Stellar Cartography, like the little blue,
the round
floor
thingy?
Design. Yeah,
yeah, that is pretty. We don't see that nearly often enough. And this is a cool visual.
I love it whenever they go to Stellar Cartography. I love it. I just love the graphics that they come up with, and I just think it's a great meeting place. It's a great discussion place, and it's their big screen TV, you know. I love it.
Essentially, yeah. Well, they got the party started with Generations, which I thought looked absolutely stunning the first time we saw Stellar Cartography, and then they had to kind of measure up to that even on a TV budget, but they did it, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's hard to beat the Stellar Cartography in Generations. That was awesome.
It was a really nice, stunning visual.
I love how there was a satellite dish on the ship just to kind of bring it home that they're broadcasting. And
yeah,
I was like, really?
Yeah.
You know, we're in the Delta Quadrant. It's the 24th century and they're still using a satellite dish.
I thought it was actually kind of a cute touch, but you know what? It's maybe dated itself now. It probably made a lot more sense back in 99, 2000 when this episode was produced than today. Mm-hmm. They probably didn't foresee the digital revolution taking on quite as fast as it has and did.
So she's a little bruised here and there, but even she makes bruises look sexy. Just like it's just a little discoloration.
It's minimized now. It's gone away a little bit.
Yeah.
She's healing efficiently.
Tuvok is up and at him, but still got the burns on his face.
Yeah, and his uniform looks a little worse for the wear.
I love that he can just go to Voyager and then the Doctor has a magic wand that he just waves over people's faces and then the burns go away.
Right. That poor uniform, that's not going to be used again. That's going into the replicator. I kind of just wonder, this is an offhand comment, how they do that to the fabric to make it look so disheveled like that. Do they actually burn it? What do they do?
Whenever I've worked on sets and they needed to make a costume look distressed, they would sometimes burn it. They would sometimes they would take a sander to it.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, to create holes and everything like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool to know. I figured you might have an answer.
Yeah, sometimes the easiest way to make something look how you want it to look is to actually do it. So, in different lights, her outfit looks different colors.
It does. It's kind of cool. It's almost like a mood catsuit.
That's the name of the episode.
There we go. Done and done.
That's amazing. Mood catsuit.
Yeah, I almost wish actually that was the actual case and they would enhance it based on her mood, her temperature, you know, so when she's feeling like just really amped up and the adrenaline's going, like right now, maybe it'd be like bright red or something, you know, make her look ultra fierce. And then when she's calm, it's more of a nice shade of green or blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'd like it.
That'd be badass. That's an idea for the future series. Make that happen.
And now the turn of the episode, the twist.
Yes.
She must fight her mentor.
To the death!
The student has become the teacher.
That's right. This has some echoes of the Rocky movies, a little bit.
Huh. So which one's Rocky and which one's Apollo Creed?
Well, depends on which Rocky movie you're probably, you know, looking at. You know, who's Apollo and who's Rocky? Because again, you know, student, mentor, that type of thing. Really, all I wanted to say with that comment was, I must break you.
I will break you.
Yeah, you will lose.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, we just did our Rocky retrospective on the Senate floor.
Oh, did you?
Weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'm behind on podcasts. I haven't listened to it yet.
Matt and I love the Rocky movies, and both of us, I finally saw Creed, and so we were waiting for me to, my butt to catch up and watch Creed so we could do a retrospective. Okay.
What did you think about it?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. I was surprised at how good it was.
Okay. My husband loves the Rocky movies and has forced me to watch a couple of them now, and they're, you know, if you just sit back and enjoy the cheese, it's fine, but they're not really my favorites. No.
Some of them are more cheesy than others, but one and two and Rocky Balboa and Creed are have some good drama in them.
Okay, good to know.
I wish we would have seen some circumstance later on where Chakotay and crew, like they're on a team or some sort. Like it's like in Drive or something, and Chakotay's on the pit crew, and on his t-shirt it says the Tattooed Terror on it.
That would be awesome. I'm hoping that our art director Aaron Harvey will be able to make a design of this. Just a really quick one, an illustration of Chakotay as the Tattooed Terror. Please make that happen at some point.
I would love to talk with Jerry Ryan sometime and figure out how hard it was to get these moves down, because I know that they use a stunt double for the more difficult and dangerous stuff, but she had sure. this had to have been her most physical role in the entire show.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
Yeah.
And she had to have learned just a little bit of choreography to get the moves.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'd love to know some more behind the scenes on that. You know, did they get an actual fighter to go through the motions and show her how to do it at least somewhat accurately? Or, you know, was The Rock tutoring her on set when he had time, or did he have time? There's probably some stories there. That would be kind of cool. You ought to tweet her and just see if she'll answer.
Yeah, yeah, I'll see. She's very responsive when it comes to fans, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that's a question she gets very often, so yeah, worth a shot.
Okay, so earlier we see Seven jump up on the railing and run around.
Uh-huh.
And but then like wouldn't her like her arms swing in the faces of the audience? I know it's holographic pay-per-view, but wouldn't they have known that when they're like, oh, wait, and they try to like reach out and touch her and she's not really there?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And imagine this. Chakotay is stuck on the bridge. He couldn't weasel his way out of it for the whole episode.
I wonder if Kate Mulgrew was busy or something. You know, because she's barely in this episode.
Yeah, she's in the first scene. That's just about it. Maybe they were trying to give her some time off or something. But I'm trying to think, you know, time-wise. I don't know. I don't want to take too many guesses because I'm probably wrong.
That's okay. She comes in and saves the day with a Delta Flyer.
There you go. As a good captain does, right? There she is. There she is.
Yeah, we don't see her fly the Delta Flyer that much at all.
Not terribly often. It's usually Tommy. It's his baby. I'm surprised he let her take it out for a spin. Oh, no, they've lost more than half the audience. They have real-time Nielsen ratings. That's funny.
That's awesome. Real-time Nielsen ratings. That's the future.
Yeah.
Real-time Nielsen ratings.
Yeah.
With holographic pay-per-view.
I'm all for it.
I would absolutely love that. We talked about this a while back about how this would be a fantastic concept for theater.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
This would be amazing because, like, I just got done rewatching a documentary called Now about Kevin Spacey's tour in Richard III.
Ooh,
and
cool.
Went all over the world and performing Richard III, and it looks absolutely amazing. But, you know, it was a limited run and I didn't get to see it. But, you know, like, if we had something like this, where they would simulcast a performance to a stage, it would be absolutely amazing.
That would be very cool. Now, I know that takes away the experience for those who are actually there in a way, like theater is very intimate and special, but that would be so cool if somebody would just even try it once so that the rest of us could, passively participate.
Well, we kind of would need holographic technology first. In order to try it.
I'm not talking the holographic technology. I'm just talking about like a simulcast of live theater.
Well, they do that. They do that now. Yeah.
Who? Where? Well, when?
It may not necessarily be live, but like they have a thing like there's this company called Fathom Events where they broadcast like opera and plays and things like
really?
That in your local movie theater. And they usually do it like one night all around the country at the same time. Like, I've seen Streetcar Named Desire that way, Frankenstein, I can't remember what else, Mice of Men. Yeah.
Okay, I had no idea people were already doing that. Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I wish they would do it more.
Yeah, for real. There's so many productions on Broadway that I'd love to see, but I'm not necessarily going to get to New York to see them in time. Like, I would like to go, but it's not on my plans right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, he's handing her his whatever pain disc. I would love to see her like grab it in her hand and then go, ow, oh!
That'd be awesome. Looks like the belt buckle she has. The pain disc thing.
Oh, yeah. She could turn it into a belt buckle. Yeah.
Yeah. Get her name engraved on it.
Yeah, that's her That's like her rodeo buckle. Like
there you go.
She survives Hunkatsu, and so she got this buckle.
There you go. Now, do we ever see it anywhere? Like, is it hanging around in her alcove after this episode? I don't think so, but that would be really cool if we did.
Yeah, we only got that kind of stuff with Picard in his ready room. Like, stuff that we've seen in the past and everything.
That's kind of a shame. You'd think that any little trinket of their travels would be valuable on Voyager.
They're still studying those nebulas.
Yes. Well, we do have to go to the Nebula of the Week, encounter the Alien of the Week. It's still very important business as usual stuff. Yes.
So funny.
Now, I've never done an actual count, but I want to know just how many times Voyager explores a nebula. You know, like that's their objective for at least a little while before things get all crazy and shenanigans ensue. Because I think it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a really nice way for the producers and writers to say like, oh, it's a everyday routine as usual, but no, something crazy happens deep within the nebula.
Right. Yeah.
So we're definitely winding down in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it's gotten a lot slower. We went from a lot of action to pause. Dramatic dialogue, pause, dramatic pause dialogue.
Yeah, it definitely tapered off here.
It really did. It slowed way down. It's a good thing the episode's almost over, or else you might be putting your audience to sleep.
Oh, she just said struggling to remain with my humanity or something like that. If she would have said independence, I would have lost it. Like, I would have had to have taken a shot.
Would you have rage quit?
Yeah, I would have just closed everything down right then and there.
Are you kidding me?
Like, really, we're going to talk about independence and humanity again? On Tsunkatsu?
No! I refuse!
All right, well, there we have it. And that's
There's the episode. Done and done. All right. Well, that was fun. That's, it's not a bad episode whatsoever. It stands out in certain ways. It's not profound by any means, but it's still fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I love watching that episode.
Yeah. Well, Tsunkatsu is not the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
You've heard Chief Trip sign on. I'm serious, Ken. Actually, out of the chair, please.
Okay. God.
I guess the Commodore has the con!
To the journey! All right, next one is from Damien Haywood. And, Damien, come on. Which Voyager crew member would you hate to be stuck in the Delta Flyer with? He's always so negative. I called him on this the other day. I said, Damien, why always with the negativity? He said, at least I'm consistent. The 602 Club.
We start getting hints of Thor. We start getting hints of Cap. We start getting hints of the entire Avengers crew, and we get Black Widow. So, I mean, Iron Man 2, considering how maybe that's not my favorite movie of the MCU, really does set up a lot of what is to come.
Literary Treks.
You know, visually to me, this is one of my favorite eras of Star Trek. You know, those monster maroon coats they're wearing, and they're just absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, a lot of people talked about wanting to get a Captain Sulu Star Trek series, and one of the big reasons for me that would be so great is to see this era played out visually on a regular basis.
Women at Warp.
Her voice as a computer voice has become so iconic that when Google started developing what is now known as Google Now, that personal assistant you can speak to, they had initially codenamed it Google Majel.
That's so cool.
Isn't that awesome?
Meta Trex.
And I kind of had the jingle in my head, you can be a winner at the game of life. And I was trying to think of the Star Trek version of that. You know, you can be a winner of the poker game of life on the Enterprise. It didn't really roll off the tongue, so.
It was great until you added on the Enterprise.
Melodic Trex.
The reason why I think Brian Reitzell would be a more plausible choice is because he has worked with Fuller in the past. They worked together on Hannibal. He scored that series, all 39 episodes. The neat thing about Brian Reitzell's music is it's more of a sound design than it is a score.
Saturday Morning Trek.
One of the characters is sizably larger than the other. So
he's just closer to the camera, Aaron, obviously.
But he's actually behind the other person.
He's a giant.
Wait, then he doesn't need a laser cutter. He can just lift the hatch up with it. Go down together.
Okay. Continuing mission.
Yeah, and of course, another great thing is when it's all finished and you look at it and go, yeah, we made that together. Yeah, that's one of the greatest moments. And people respond to it and say, oh, that's pretty well made. The effects are great. The actors are great, even though they're Dutch trying to speak English, right?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of our shows. We get new Trek talk into your podcast feeds every single day of the week. None of it is possible without the help of folks on Patreon. We are a listener-supported network, so go to patreon.com/trekfm. Check it out. There's lots of cool perks in it for you based on your donation level, and we appreciate all the support that we do get. We want to thank on TTJ our associate producers, and those awesome people are Aaron Harvey, Jamie Deuce, Kenneth Tripp, Bruce Lish, and Dante Hopkins. So thanks, guys. And this is a wrap. What are we going to do next week?
Next week, we're keeping it a surprise because we love keeping you guys in suspense. So you'll have to tune in next week to find out. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!